Blog Talk Radio.
Each and every day I will seek your face.
Thank you for tuning into USWAT Radio. Stay tuned for a special message from Leighbourne Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of Edmarket involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Hello, radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio and president of Urban Glory Campaigns. On behalf of LaVon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, I want to personally extend an invitation to join our team. Call our Human Resource Office today at 641-715-3800, extension 2966445. The number again is 641-715-3800, extension 2966445.
Attention Maryland, D.C., and Virginia residents. The last two Wednesdays of every month, Urban Glory Campaign's biblical focus group, the Rhema Group, meets at 7 p.m. Dominion Academy with Selena Olivia for training and discussion in foundational truths. And Ambassador Academies with Urban Glory Campaign's ecclesiastical leader, LaVon Breland, with training for ministry leaders. Check us out online at www.myspace.com/RGRU. That's www.myspace.com/RGRU. Or call us at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. The Rhema Group, Revelation Unveiled.
Well, good evening. This is LaVon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, the host of USWAT Radio, welcoming you to our program tonight. This is Primetime Thursday. I'm on with you live, ready and here to study the Word of God with you. I know we have on the caption, but it will be edited most likely tomorrow, that we were going to start the Through the Bible division. However, I felt that it was best to start at Division 1 versus starting with Divisions 4 and 5. So we're going to deal with tonight a portion of a lesson that I would encourage you to give the whole entire series of, which is Supreme Standards. And we're going to be listening to the lesson, or I'm going to be teaching the lesson tonight on demystifying the progressive works and the definite states of sanctification. And I believe, based on the Word of God that has been prepared for you, you're going to be truly blessed. As you know, on the 25th, which is next Thursday, we're going to begin the consecration, and we're going to begin with three lessons, 45-minute lessons back on back. So I want you to listen up, because the Word of God is going to go forth in a level of intensity that I believe has not gone forth in a while. So I want you to please listen up and listen to the Word of God as we go through the consecration. And the consecration is going to be 36 lessons that is going to take us all the way into the month of August. So I want you to keep listening. By the month of July, we should end at lesson 18. But I'm telling you, the 18 lessons that you're going to hear is going to transform your personal devotion with the Lord, and it's going to go over some essential scriptures. As you know, we've been studying the Spirit-Filled Believer's Handbook. It's been an awesome study on the uniqueness of faith last week. It was awesome. We're going to continue that study. And then, of course, you know, we're going to be doing some ministry development training this coming Sunday on the Biblical Preaching, chapters 1 and 2, and we're going to deal with the gifts and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I just believe you're going to be truly blessed by Dr. Lester Summerall and also by the instructor and the author of Biblical Preaching, a great teaching I think will help you for ministry development. As you know, we have a Through the Bible Institute, and I'm going to read to you tonight the program and give you an idea of how it will work. If you are studying, if your study time is limited concerning the Word of God, this particular institute is just for you. Each division noted in our program covers the essentials of the entire Old and New Testament of the Bible. This is done in short segments of approximately 2 hours per division. Just a few minutes to your just add a few minutes to your devotional time in a period of 6 months, and you will have a basic and comprehensive understanding on the books of the Bible. And then if you want to dig deeper, there are multiple learning options available through our ministry, and you just have to check our website if you would want more information. How do you get started, you may ask? Simply register for this program through the Bible Institute. You will see a link on it tomorrow on our Blog Talk Radio website, and it will link you back to our Urban Glory Campaigns.web. You can register on there, and then you can also call our voicemail and register and give us your information, your email address. All we need is your email address, your name, your first and last name, the church that you attend, and the season that you are enrolling. And the first Through the Bible division by internet will be on July 19th, 2009. So register before July 19th, 2009 for Through the Bible. Now, Through the Bible is divisions that are done on every third Sunday and every third Monday. So we're going to go through each division of the Bible on a Sunday night and a Monday night for 1 hour or for 2 hours per division. And please look at the calendar. We're going to have a calendar set on the registration page. So give us about next week to look on our website, and you'll see that up so that way you can get involved and so that you can get a certificate. Now, let me read to you what will happen. Simply register for the program on our ministry website and listen every third Sunday and third Monday to the program and on the week prior to the division of the study, they will be given an email with a survey of 12 questions. That survey will have 6 multiple choice questions and 6 short answer questions. You must pass each survey in order to receive a completion for the particular division of study. You have a month to reply to the email, to the monthly email with the answers of each division. After all divisions are completed, you will receive a receipt of completion, and it will be extended to you, an invitation to receive a diploma at our Rhema Group University Believers Foundational Institute graduation, which is held twice yearly. So if you start in July this year, by December, you will have the opportunity and the invitation to join us on our graduation at the Rhema Group. But even if you're not there, your name will be called at the ceremony, and you can go through the Bible with us. Now, we're going to be going through this Bible chapter, book by book, and it's going to have explanations of each chapter from Genesis to Revelation in 6 months. And you're going to feel so proud after completing a study on the Word of God, and we're going to have a certificate for you that is going to accentuate your completion of Through the Bible. And you can also use it for means to get into our Urban Glory Campaign Theological Institute, which is set to launch in 2012. Well, Let me give you the divisions. Through the Bible, divisions are explained in divisions 1 and 2, the books of the law and the books of the Old Testament history. The books of 3 and 4 are the books of poetry and the books of the major prophets. 5 and 6 are the books of the minor prophets and the Gospels. New Testament history and Pauline epistles are 7 and 8, and 9 and 10 are the general church letters and the prophecy. And I think you're going to be very blessed with going through this program. And I've already explained to you that we are on, Through the Bible is now offered every third Sunday beginning in July on the internet, on our internet program. Simply call into the show and listen. Dial 646-595-4877. U Squad Radio airs every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or you can visit blogtalkradio.com, and you can play it anytime at will. It's going to be a great program, and I want you to sign up. Is there a certificate with this program? Absolutely. Yes, upon successful completion of our certificate program courses, the student is awarded a certificate of completion, a special package arranged by the Episcopal Office of Urban Glory Campaign. And we are looking to set up a web tree where people can listen to this, or set up on a page on our website where you can listen to every division of the Bible at will. So just keep looking for that. It's going to be such a blessing, and I believe you're going to be so blessed by this particular study. And we're going to do this yearly, every third Sunday. You don't want to miss a third Sunday. Call in by phone 646-595-4877, and you will be truly blessed. And we're starting July the 19th of 2009 in Division 1 of this particular study, the third Sunday and the third Monday, and we're going to keep going from there. So God is truly blessing our organization. Tonight we're going to do a study on supreme standards. It was a blessing. I taught it last night, and I'm going to teach it again tonight under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to pray in a second and get the Holy Spirit involved. I want to thank you, all the people that listen to this broadcast. We are growing. We are getting connections of friends. I would encourage you to look on our blog site, listen to some of their radio programs, and get you a Blog Talk radio program. But also listen to this one on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. Those of you who are looking for deeper studies in the Word of God, those of you who are called to the ministry and want to be a part of an association of those of like precious faith, call in at 646-595-4877. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays at 10 p.m. Your life will never be the same as a result of the word proclaimed. I believe that the words that we speak are spirit and life, and they're able to communicate to you how to communicate appropriately, according and in congruency with the teachings of the Holy Spirit as revealed as the men of old in the Bible. So we want to thank you for listening, and we want to encourage you to let people know that even if they can't get online, they can call by phone by dialing 646-595-4877, and they can dial that number on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Sundays at 10 p.m. and listen to the conversation. We even have people in nursing homes, people who are in their sick bed. I generally like to pray over them periodically when the Lord impresses me to pray, but if this is a perfect opportunity for them to call and to get some comfort if they can't sleep, to listen to the Word of God from 10 o'clock. We have about a two-hour segment, so we can go as long as we need to go and study in the Word of God. We can do a whole day marathon and go all night. Maybe one night we'll go all night and just study the Word and just go in the Word of God. I love to do that anyway, so we may put that into motion. So I want you to continue to listen to the broadcast and continue to let everybody know that on Tuesday we have timeless teaching. On Sundays, we have ministry development. We have questions and answers on second Sundays. We have Through the Bible Institute on third Sundays. And on fourth and or fifth Sundays, we have ministry development. And we're learning biblical preaching, which is homiletics and hermeneutics. And we're learning how to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifting classes taught by one of the most quintessential leaders in spiritual warfare and spiritual authority, under the influence of the late Dr. Lester Summerall. I think it's a great opportunity for you to read some of the things pertaining to the gifts and the ministry that we profess we have for this sacred location. Well, pray with me tonight as we continue, or as we start a series here, and I think in the future I'll present the rest of it. However, you can go on our website and get information of how you can purchase the entire first volume and or second volume, which will be released in the fall, but the first volume will be ready in the month of August. So I want you to look on our website and listen to this. This is a great opportunity for you to invest into the Word of God and into the ministry of Urban Glory campaigns and find out how you can get information concerning the studies that we have, because some of these studies will help you in ministry, and I believe tonight's lesson will help you in ministry, especially as we begin to dialogue about processing sanctification under the series titled Supreme Standards. Well, let's look to the Father and get the Holy Spirit involved in tonight's lesson as we continue to go forth in power and understanding concerning the Word. Father, we thank you for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made, and I rejoice and are glad. I thank you for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. I do lean to the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to speak through my mind and my vocal cords, clear articulation of speech and deliberation of theology as I make known the mysteries of old and speak boldly as I ought to speak. I do trust the Holy Spirit to have its own way, to say what he would have me to say, and I will comply and I will obey. And Father, you alone will get all the praise, honor, and glory for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. It is in the name of Jesus that I do praise you and give you glory and honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I was impressed with the Lord the other week. I had the opportunity to minister in or to be a part of history dealing with a very heated issue concerning same-sex marriages. On Tuesday, I read you an article from Bishop Harry Jackson explaining some of the victories that we've had in voicing our convictions and how we as the body of Christ must take a greater stance as far as being the prophetic voice of America. You can look for me in the future a book concerning the prophetic USA. I'm going to be dealing with how our voice still matters in times like these, especially in times where it demands great change. And this particular series was birthed in my spirit man to study because I believe it's important that we exemplify the standards that we are convicted of. And part of dealing with the conviction of the standards that we profess we have is examining the doctrine of sanctification. And as I said to you earlier this year, the Lord impressed upon my heart to be a diligent doctrinal instructor in the teachings of righteousness, and that it's important that if the foundations of the righteous are destroyed, there will be no safety in the land. But if the foundations of the righteous are secured based on the sovereignty of the Spirit, then we will see righteousness grow in the beauty of holiness amongst the land of the living. And I believe that that is going to happen because I believe God is raising up people who are serious about things pertaining his morals and his ethics and his standards. Well, before we get immediately into understanding and deprogramming the title of this subject, Supreme Standards, let us deal with demystifying the progressive works and definite states of sanctification. It's important that you understand that God has certain terms in the scripture, especially pertaining to the New Testament, that we must take account of. And part of us processing things beyond just mere salvation is embedded in the understanding of sanctification. And by tonight's lesson, we're going to give you several scriptures. I'm going to give you the foundational scriptures of the root word sanctification, and then in the next lessons we're going to continue to unveil some of the mysteries and the revelations concerning. Tonight's lesson is entitled Demystifying the Progressive Works of Definite States of sanctification. And we're going to talk about this because theologians, when they go to study sanctification, often they can have challenges because they seem to not be able to communicate a distinction between the definite state of sanctification and the progressive work. And most people believe that a progressive work and a definite state cannot coexist in the same scenery. However, we know based on the scripture that it can, and it is so. And so we have to take time to investigate God's word concerning the matter. Now, lesson one is just demystifying the progressive works and definite states of sanctification. And lesson two is superior norms that reflect the realms of righteousness. And lesson three is stretching the mental capacity to a greater realm than salvation. And then lesson four, communicating supreme stipulation of sanctification, conveying the power of obedience. I want you to listen to these lessons, and that's why I encourage you before we start and before we pray to get information of how you can get all four lessons on two CDs. And I want you to listen to these CDs because I believe it's going to bless you in the future as to how to exemplify supreme standards, processing the power of sanctification. The objective of this particular series explores greater means to the claims of righteousness afforded through Christ to exist in the power of his grace that reveals greater transformations of redemption and the patterns and the powers of the Holy Spirit as a means of achieving obedience. Now, before we throw out the word obedience, because I understand that there's benefits to obeying God, I want us to begin to do the grass work, and the grass work is the process that leads us to manifesting obedience, and that manifestation is sanctification. And we're going to go through a basic definition of sanctification. We're going to give three suggestions as to what we can abstract from our article of foundation found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 through 1. We're going to give you five scriptures of that you can locate facts about sanctification. And then we're going to conclude with giving you five basic solutions to achieving the advantage of sanctification. And then on the next time we discuss this particular topic, we're going to deal with the superior norms that reflect the realm of righteousness. Now, all of you who are in the Northern Virginia area, D.C. and Maryland, please be looking forward to our Maryland location. First of all, our Maryland and Raymond Group University, we are praying and the Lord is revealing us information as to how to start the Raymond Group in the Maryland location. And we're looking to have our Maryland location meet on Thursday night and our Virginia location meet on Wednesday night. Now, on Wednesday nights, we have a beautiful location at the South County Building, as you heard on the announcement that this program started. And I would encourage you to come to our 8 o'clock class from 8 to 8:50 or our 9 o'clock class from 9 to 9:45. And in those two classes, the 9 o'clock class is the foundational class for new believers who want to get established in the things of God. We have a practical instructor. The president of the organization, Selena Olivia, instructs that particular class and gives the foundation over grassroots and the fundamentals of the faith. And then I teach the 8 o'clock class from 8 to 8:45, an advanced accelerated class for ministers of the gospel. So I encourage all ministers, if you're not doing something on a Wednesday for 45 minutes, that's less than the time that you would give going to a movie theater. And I assure you that we are very good at getting out all the information at a quick pace from 8 o'clock sharp to 8:45. 10 minutes announcements, 25-minute lesson, and we give you some pertinent information as how you can go about. We close out and we go on. But I would encourage you to join me because I will be continuing this series for the next the rest of the month of June and the month of July and the month of August rather, because on July, as you know, I take my sabbatical to hear from the Lord for the direction for the rest of the year. So I've already started hearing from the Lord as far as what he wants me to do for the year. I'm excited. Now, we have coming in I believe September or I believe it's the third season, at the beginning of the third season or the fourth season, don't quote me on this. But I believe that at the beginning of the fourth season, we're going to have our 7 o'clock class, our 7 to 8 o'clock class, which is the Believers Foundational Institute. And we're going to even offer that online, which is going to give the primary foundational teachings of this organization. And it's going to give my doctrinal stance and what I believe according to the scriptures. And it's going to be a beneficial class to every minister of the gospel, because if you have new believers coming into your church, you can take this material, this information that I'm going to collect and transmit through technology, and apply it at will for the believers in your life. And I guarantee you, your church will thrive as a result of them attending the Believers Foundational Institute. It's going to be a wonderful program. It's going to incorporate two doctrinal stances, the doctrine of enlightenment and the foundational doctrine that are accepted generally around the spiritual believers. But I want to incorporate some things into it in a way that I don't believe has been presented in modern times. And we have some great studies in that particular course. That course is an eight session course. And you can apply for that and get a diploma as well. And I'm excited about that particular program. Me and the president of the organization are working hard on getting that material outlined and getting that ready for booking. And I'm telling you, it's going to be such a blessing. So please be listening to our website. Call our information. Get information about this particular study and get involved. And in addition, this particular lesson is going to be completed at the Rhema Groups. So make sure you get information of how you can get these studies, because I'm only going to give you a brief summary of what is going to be taking place at the Rhema Group meeting. So I want you to listen to this particular lesson tonight, because it's going to be such a blessing. Of course, I've already given you the objective, which is to examine and explore greater means of the claims of righteousness afforded through Christ to exist in the power of his grace that reveals transformation of redemptions and patterns of the power of the Holy Spirit as the main means of achieving obedience. So obedience is the goal of sanctification, and sanctification is the process. However, it is also a definite state. And we need to make sure that we understand, take out the mystery, the obscurity, and provide clarity for the process, the working process of sanctification, and the definite thing in order to achieve this sanctification in a believer's life, because it's very important. The Bible has much to say when it pertains to sanctification. Many times the application of the term, when it's not approached properly, produces extremism that often leads to disappointments and potential setbacks to progressing toward maturity in Christ. As ministers of the gospel, this too becomes very important, a topic to visit when conducting worship. Worship will enhance when people influence their culture to exemplify the state of sanctification, which also presents that this doctrine concerning sanctification must be brought to light from time to time, as it stipulates our conviction to devoting to God true holiness. Often, when theologians go to formulate doctrines concerning sanctification, they tend to get stuck on clauses of the scripture. Clauses are distinctions emphasized for the sake of focus and or consideration of the overall message and the author that the author is attempting to convey. In our course, the author is the Holy Spirit, as it has moved in men to examine the condition of affairs for them that they have professed the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Sanctification should never be classified into one mere aspect, and that's what we're going to learn tonight, that sanctification should never be classified into one mere aspect, as you will see in the research scripture. It is never conveyed to address solely one section of humanity's attempt to exist in the divine state. However, I do not want you to downplay the effect of sanctification as it pertains to our conduct, either when Christ is realized as being the source to communicate to a holy God. I believe that it should be the awakening of introspections of conduct in addition to attitudes that are formed because of great awareness of a worthier walk. So as we begin to go on the things of God, there should be an awakening to a worthier walk because we have been called to a worthy walk. But let's read the foundational scripture of this particular lesson found in 1 Thessalonians. And I want to read chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Again, that's 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all, such as we have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Well, when we're called unto holiness, we have a conviction to obey. And that's why the role of the Holy Spirit is stipulated that we must be led exclusively by the Holy Spirit, especially in the dispensation of his grace, where we've been favored to work according to the will of God that has been instinctively taught to us by God himself. The objective of this particular lesson, demystifying the progressive work in the definite state of sanctification, is to esteem wisdom directed by the Spirit as the best method of exemplifying states and processes of sanctification. So at the end of the day, what I want you to know is this. You need to be led exclusively by the Holy Spirit, because it is the Spirit of God that is going to afford you the wisdom, the proper application of the knowledge of sanctification. And when you have someone else instructing you otherwise, you're going to get into error and also mishap. But we can prevent that if we allow the Spirit to esteem his wisdom as a method of exemplifying states and processes of sanctification. Let's briefly activate the research on sanctification by constructing a brief exegesis of the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And in the foundation article found in Thessalonians, it is suggested by commentary that there are two major focuses for Paul addressing the church of Thessalonica. First of all, there are misconceptions about the coming of the Lord and the dispensation of grace. In retrospect, they didn't have no idea. Secondly, they're exemplifying the life of godliness, which is true holiness. The church of Thessalonica was distracted people, avoiding work, and it was important to note that they were under persecution, so they were in need of some doctrinal correcting and comfort. Please note in your examination of the entire book of 1 Thessalonians, in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, that it was not written in the same manner as it was written as the article was penned for the church of Corinth or Galatia. Now, why do I say that? Pauline letters are letters addressed to churches, and his role as an apostle was to set forth the direction and the decrees that God had given to him based on the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, exemplified and amplified in retrospect for the overall benefit of the church. There were certain doctrines that were embraced. First of all, Jesus had raised from the dead. The church was filled with the Holy Spirit. The church was added as such should be saved. The church was to wait and endure persecution for the sake of the return of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or for the glorification of his kingdom. So all of these things were brought into their life. When he had already went into Thessalonica, established the church, set leaders in that church to uphold the nature and the doctrines of the church. And you know that if you start a church and you go to do another one, there are times that when leadership is out of the governance of those who were set as the example or the foundation of that vision, that there are often times where there are misconceptions that arise, especially when it comes to interpreting the vision. So it was a necessity that Paul wrote. But it wasn't like the Galatians who had been taught the gospel and been given liberty and been subjugated themselves to people who had came in that crept in and tried to create legalism in a liberated system that could only be orchestrated by God. It wasn't like that. So they were in need of correction, but they were also in need of comfort. He didn't comfort the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians, and he didn't comfort the church in Galatians. He rebuked them sharply. But here we see another thing, especially as it pertains to the coming of the Lord, and that is why Paul had to comfort them and correct them, because they had gotten under the notion, well, if the Lord is coming and the work is done, that they did not need to labor. That presented a problem because they were under persecution, and the only means of getting free from their persecution was them to resume working and to produce goods. They were still to be produced, occupied until the Lord comes, but there needed to be correction on the coming of the Lord, and so he had to address these matters. The persecution that they wanted, they were needed some doctrinal correcting and comfort. Please note that. So it was a strong rebuke, which should hint to us coming to terms as it relates to the conveying of sanctification. Whenever you deal with sanctification, the resolve to walk upright, fixed, and steadfast has to be conveyed for reception sake. And we believe that that was achieved, and I believe that there are three basic principles that can be extracted from this particular this dialogue in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. The first one that I believe that we must take note of is that in the first time with the Apostle Tom, when he first came with them, when writing, he felt that they had enough to grasp the concepts of righteousness based on his example to pleasing God. Now, that's something that pricked my heart when I was reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, that Paul had an expectation, and you're going to find that's my third point, but Paul set forth an example that he could expect them to have enough knowledge about Jesus Christ and about them existing to please God. There had to be some form of visible imprint on their imagination for him to have this expectation for them to produce abundance and steadfastly continue in the manners in which he displayed. So one of the things I want you to understand, that when Paul went to address these people to correct their misconceptions concerning doctrine, especially the doctrine of the coming of the Lord, which is always misunderstood, there needed to be some correction, but there was enough teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ for his expectation to be valid and for him to provoke them to or provoke and encourage them to abound in that expectation. It had to be valid for it to be recorded in Scripture. The second thing that I learned from this particular passage was that the passage suggests that the revelation of sanctification will enhance and personalize their knowledge of God's will individually, which also would further emphasize the known doctrines given of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect example to emulate a divine personal relationship with God. Jesus did things to please his Father. He showed us an individual example of total dedication to the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. And if we are presenting him in our doctrine, we're preaching his gospel, and we're expecting the people of God to abound in his gospel, then there should be a knowledge within the people that they should know God individually, and that there's a knowledge and an advantage in knowing God individually. And a lot of times churches want to get people to know God collectively when they have not focused on the fact that they need to know God individually. The instructor said something last night at the faith forum that kind of pricked in me that I didn't address in last night's teaching. And that was, a lot of times we say you have to trust, but we don't teach how to trust. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, he had taught them enough to trust, and not only to trust, but to commit and be consistent. And that's why there needed to be some correction, and he had to re-go over the doctrine of the coming of the Lord Jesus, and that they were to maintain steadfastness, to be steadfast and fit concerning their business until the Lord came and manifested himself. Now, and the same goes for us. We need to keep performing and work the works of him that sent us to work while it's day, because when night cometh, no man will be able to work. So that's one of the things that it suggests, and that's what the knowledge of understanding him personally, I think it was so important that we get that. And then the third thing is there is a continuous resolve of expectations. I would encourage you, and while I'm noting this on the broadcast, and the good thing about the broadcast, you get to talk about what you could use to enhance your study. I would encourage you to call Fellowship Church of God in Christ. The link is on the web, on one of our web pages, Fellowship Church of God in Christ, and get the message, Expectations, done by my grandfather. He does a very, very, very good teaching on expectations, and I think that we need to know that expectations, when it's governed under the right authority, can be very beneficial because it charges the energy that is necessary to excel. And that's what we see in this particular passage. When Paul is telling them to abound more and more in the teaching that they have heard, to say stand fast so they can know that God, that it's the will of God that has called them unto sanctification, and that they should flee from fornication and learn how to possess their vessels with sanctification and honor. See, when he says this, you understand that, first of all, they had an example. And because they had an example, it produced enough knowledge to provoke individual understanding, to provoke understanding, personal understanding. And then after that personal understanding, they had an expectation to excel based on the authority's expectation. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's part of a process of sanctification, but they're also definite steps. Demystifying sanctification suggests that there are solutions that break the mystery of obscurity of sanctification, and we will do this as this lesson will offer five basic solutions to achieving this advantage of sanctification. We will also locate what I believe is the process that identifies when sanctification has taken place, found in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 33. Now, let me read that to you so that way when I get to the second part, I don't have to go back over it. Turn with me right quick to Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 33. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 33, it says, "And we know that all things work together for them that love God, for them that are called according to his purpose. From whom he did foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, to them he also called. And to whom he called, to them he also justified. And to him whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, and we know that he is, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies." Now, before we go into sanctification and give you the five basic advantages to activating the advantages of achieving sanctification, I want you to understand that this particular scripture right here gives you the path of sanctification. It gives you, first of all, that God has called you according to his purpose, that he has a purpose for you. "I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, the plans to prosper you and to give you a hope and an expected end or a future." I always ask people this question, especially in my Bible courses: why do you seek the Lord? And that Jeremiah 29:11 answers that question: because he knows the plans that he has for us, saith the Lord. to give us a hope and a future. So we seek God. Why? Because we have been called according to his purpose. And there's a foreknowledge out there about us, which predestines us to be conformed to the image of his son. So we are to, that's where sonship takes place. And then after that, that we might be the first of many brethren. So this sonship is expected to be perpetual. Moreover, who he predestinates, then he gives call, or he validates their calling. And that's where we are. This is all states of sanctification, because all of these are achieved after salvation. See, understanding that you're called according to his purpose, you didn't even know you had a purpose until you came into the knowledge that God has chosen you and you hadn't chosen him, that he chose you. And then before that, then as you get to seek out your purpose, you begin to understand that God got foreknowledge, that he makes known the end before the beginning. So he has foreknowledge, and then it reveals that you were placed on earth at this particular time because you were predestined. And then after you're predestined, you're called. And then after you're called, he gives you a sense of righteousness, and only righteousness can justify you. And then after he justifies you, he glorifies you. And then glorification, glory being in a state of glory, is when you exist from the process of sanctification. And you exist as a vessel of honor. Why? Because glory is a descriptive word. It's an adjective that expresses only things that could be godly, only things that could be holy, only things that could exist in beauty. Well, how do you do that? Through the process of sanctification. And so this particular scripture, I believe, gives us the process of the states of sanctification. And that's why you need to study and know that. And you can never exemplify a standard that has not been merited as a part of your character. That is often why there's a great disappointment to members of the body of Christ that have not married their convictions of the principles that they wore. The power of sanctification graces us with a great connection which brings the life to the scriptures, divine ethics that commits our walks to the Lord, and the importance of developing trust in the Holy Spirit to rely all that is needed to abound in the life of God. So that's why we need to understand this particular role. Now, we got to insert that there are five passages that has the term sanctification. Now, sanctify, there's about 200 times that the word sanctify is mentioned in the Bible, and in the next lesson we're going to categorize that and apply it to why we set up norms and understand that norms are the breeding grounds of laws, and laws are the breeding grounds of covenants, and covenants are the breeding grounds of conviction, and conviction are the breeding grounds of character, and character is the breeding ground of glorification, and glorification is the product of sanctification. So when we deal with supreme standards, we're not just looking at it from a religious perspective, but we're processing the power of sanctification, because it shows us that there are definite states to this walk beyond just accepting Jesus Christ as Lord, and that there are means and there are processes that we work out, but those work out to reveal the power of sanctification so that way we can embody God's glory. Oh, bless his name. That's exciting to me. So let me give you the five scriptures and what they mean in terms of what they manifest. Each of these scriptures are the only scriptures in the Bible that carry the word sanctification. Sanctification. Not sanctify, not sanctifying, not sanctified, but sanctification. So please note that when I tell you that there's only five, and three of the five are found in the book of Thessalonians, and the other two are found in Corinthians and 1 Peter, that you know that these are for the word sanctification, and that this is the process that is given and illustrated for the new covenant believer. Sanctification was could only be seen temporal in the old covenant when it came to the book of Leviticus all the way through Numbers when you see the Exodus of the things you saw, the temple sacrifices, because of the temple. But once Jesus raised from the dead, oh, glory to God, sanctification was not only a progressive work, but it was a definite state, because he went into the holies of holies once and for all, ripped the veil of partition, and allowed us to become the righteousness of God in him, so that we could have a right to approach an all-holy God that cannot look on sin. And if you dare to go through the process of sanctification, you will have the confidence necessary to approach a God that is all-holy, all-wise, all-knowing, omniscient is his nature. Jehovah is his name. Glory to God. And we need to understand, my God, I just sent the anointing all over there. When you know how to work out this process and understand that these are definite states, you're going to have confidence in life. You're not going to be living out of a mystery of religious ideals, but you're going to work according to the purpose which God has called you to, that he's given you a foreknowledge of, that he has predestined you for, that he has appointed you unto, and that he has justified you in and established you in righteousness, so that when you can admit the glory of God, that when people see you, they will see you like they saw you, that like they saw the people of God in Matthew 5, verse 16, that they let their light so shine before men that when men saw their good works, they glorified their Father, which is in heaven. And how many of you know that that should be your case? If you allow and accepted the declaration of your salvation with Jesus, who said, I've come to do the work that you sent me to do. Make them one as we are one. If you've gotten one with God, my God from Zion, if you've gotten one with his word and you desire to be with his word, you're not worried about whether you put on enough makeup or less makeup. You're not worried about whether your dress is long enough or short enough, because the difference between a long dress and a short dress is the time it takes to pull it up. You don't have to worry about them things, because your sanctification does not exist on what you overtly show, but is what you have inwardly committed to while you worked out definite states of your salvation and the process, processing yourself from sonship into glorification. And when you're focused, and see, that's what this process does. The doctrine of sanctification doesn't make you religious. It focuses you on your Father. It focuses you on God's sovereign will. It focuses you on what you're called to do. And when you allow God to be the initiator and the educator of your sanctification, no devil in hell, no men of this world can distort the quality of your life. Well, I'm getting all excited, and this is a radio program, and I'm not supposed to preach, so I'm going to take a deep breath and take a sip, because if I don't stop, I might start hooping. Oh, my. There are five scriptures that I want you to know. Write these down. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 deals with the word sanctification. It says, but ye are him in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. So it shows to us that the manifestation of Christ is the Lord Jesus' authority at work within the believer. And then number two, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3. It says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3, the manifestation of God's will. So we understand that sanctification is the manifestation of God's will. Number three, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 4, it says the manifestation of divine character. And, of course, you know we've already read these two verses, but it says that every one of you should know how to possess your vessel in sanctification. So that lets us know that when you possess your vessel in sanctification and honor, that those are characteristics of who you are. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is the manifestation of divine character. So when you do that, when you allow that to take place, sanctification or praying your eyes, there will be a manifestation of divine character. Number four, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, and of course you know it says, we are always bound to give thanks always to God for you, brother and beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And that's one of the scriptures that we're going to get into next week when we're applying norms. But I want you to understand at this particular point that that is the manifestation of the Spirit at work in the life of a believer. So when you see 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, you see a progressive work of sanctification. And in the first two that we just, or in the first three that we read, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4, you see a definite state. Because, see, when you possess your vessel with things, that's a definite state. And when you allow the will of God is sanctification, the will of God is a definite state, because the Lord changes not. And he has already made all of his answers are forever settled. His word is forever settled in heaven. That's a definite state. So we see that as definite states. The first three scriptures are definite states. The fourth scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2:13 is a progressive word. And in 1 Peter, it says elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It says through sanctification of the Spirit. So that lets you know when it says through, going in one way, coming out the other, that through sanctification of the Spirit, again, it's of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So there we see a progressive work. Why? Because it's through the Spirit that this grace, through the blood, the offering of the Lord Jesus, and through the Spirit and obedience, unto obedience, which is synonymous to glorification. Because, see, when you obey God, then he can shine his light on you. You can be a representative of him. So you see these in the first three, 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, you see a definite state. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 1 Peter chapter 1, you see a progressive work. And the progressive work is always activated under the governance of the Spirit. Why? Because it takes, because you have been trained naturally to adapt soulishly before you connect the authority of the Spirit in your life. You need, the process of salvation is learned as you begin to become aware of the need to be led exclusively by the Spirit. That's why in Romans it says the whole earth waiteth and travaileth for the manifestation of the sons of God. But the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Why? Because that's the process of sanctification at work. Do you hear what I'm saying, sons and daughters of the kingdom? You need to understand that these things are processes, but yet they are definite states. And don't get stuck on clauses. Learn how to use and see, the Bible says, a weight of just balance, a just weight and a balance is of the Lord. But a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Have a balanced perspective. Learn that one word can mean two different things and complement each other. And that's one of the things that you have to understand in dealing with sanctification. Because if you don't, you will go into extremism and you will produce disappointment and deter the progressiveness of believers. And if you are the authority figure in place or in leadership, in authority in the churches and in the worship experiences, you have an obligation by the word of God to speak and to say what the Spirit saith to the church. And the Spirit saith things to the church that are definite and also progressive, and we cannot be imbalanced in that. And we need to learn that up front. And if you can take this information that I'm giving to you up front, you will not be disappointed in ministry. Well, let me give you five basic solutions to achieving this advantage. Now, first five basic solutions are extracted conceptually from two passages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, which reveals why sanctification is a process and also an absolute state in the life of believers. Please take careful consideration to training these preceding points. We have already examined and used the article of foundation, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, of the five basic solutions extrapolated. So the rest of the point that we're going to extrapolate is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. So let's read in context 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30, backing up to verse 22. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, backing up to verse 22. And we'll read verse 22-31. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and another, and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, that particular point right there will really bless you if you would see to that. For ye see your calling, brother, and how that not many wise men after the flesh and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, I already let you know that obedience and glory are the objectives of the process and the definite state of sanctification. And in this particular passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30, it kind of connects just a portion in the article that was scripted into the church in Rome, in verses 8, verses 28 through 33, that the end of this is glory, that no one should glory in his presence. For it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. So we understand that glory is the objective. Obedience is the objective in the definite state. But in the progressive state, it is glory. So here we see five basic advantages or solutions to achieving the advantages of sanctification. Number one, sanctification is ordained of God to reveal his divine intent further than the acceptance of the Lordship of Jesus Christ as personal Savior. It is what the believer achieves as suggested by the book of Romans 8:28-33 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. The definite state and the progressive work. Amen. And so, number two, sanctification is discovered through approaching God knowledgeably. See, all of this is understanding that God is more than just accepting Jesus. This is the working out of the salvation with reverence. Do you see what I'm saying? And then, when we're preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're truly doing this, the process of sanctification is activated. So why? Because he's our example. So accepting Jesus Christ as Lord activates the process of sanctification. However, there are definite states that accompany that. One of the major definite states is relying on the Lordship of Jesus Christ's authority, whom he sent to lead you and guide you into truth, which is what? The Holy Spirit. So when you allow the evidence of the Holy Spirit to be made evident in your life, you release that spirit that was created, you release his spirit, spirit's authority to dictate to your soul how you should conduct your body. So the process of sanctification is revealed at the acceptance of the Lord. So it's not only accepting the Lord, but it's also processing the doctrine or the power of sanctification. So we see that through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, sanctification is solely under the governance of sovereignty. No human personality, assumptions, interpretations, endeavors to be like or to act like God can contain or unlock or reveal the power within salvation and sanctification. So we need to understand that this is not something that you mimic. The only person that you've been asked to be imitators of is God, but you cannot force God's hand to reveal the process and the power of sanctification. You have to submit yourself under the obedience, unto obedience to the Holy Spirit. And as you get presented the truth and the Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth, you're going to begin to see the process of sanctification at work in your life. Now, we can never forget the primary meaning of the word sanctification, which is to be set aside unto God's predestinated work, archived in the heavenlies, intended for the manifestation of the kingdom on earth as it is to be in heaven. We got to understand that sanctification means to set yourself apart. But who can set you apart? Only God. So this is not wearing no makeup to show that you submitted and that you're not like the skanky women of the world. That's not the issue. That's not sanctification. That's isolation. And sometimes it's ignorance. Hallelujah. So we need to look deeper, and we need to stop making supernatural experiences natural occurrences. Hallelujah. It's like one of the examples that I always use. We always say we want to exemplify the fruit of the Spirit. Well, the only way you can exemplify the fruit of the Spirit is if you allow the Spirit to have proper place, because the fruits don't belong to you, and it doesn't belong to you if you mimic it. But the fruits are of the Spirit. Do you get what I'm saying? So you need to allow the Spirit to have proper place. So number four, sanctification is the only process that contains the knowledge of God's will, divine will. So when someone is asking in various forms of asking you what sanctification, of what God's will is concerning the matter, they have not allowed the process of sanctification to take place in their life, because the knowledge of God's will is initiated by you separating yourself unto God, which indicates that the nature of constructing covenant vows and communion under the governance of the influence of the Holy Spirit. And then number five, sanctification links the whole existence of life to the reality of divine predestination and glorification. And glorification exists in existence is to make reality a perpetual reflection of heaven on earth. I'm out of time for this particular lesson, and I do thank you for listening to tonight's broadcast. I believe that you will never be the same as a result of the word proclaimed, because greater is he that lives within you than he that's living in the world. And I believe that you will have a prosperous week, and whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. This is LaVon Real, and believing that you will have a great week, a prosperous night. Get some rest. Call your friends. Tell them we'll be on Sunday studying ministry development. If you want to learn how to preach, I guarantee you need to call and listen to this particular study, because I think it's so needed in the body of Christ for us to study and learn how to do what we do best. Amen? I'm excited. Now, if you want this particular lesson downloaded on our Blog Talk Radio site, I'm going to download this one myself. I enjoy teaching it. I pray that you were blessed. But if you want the whole series, you're going to have to call the information. You're going to have to call the ministry website and get the information of how to contact us and get the whole volume of CDs. I think it's going to be $20 for these CDs. So it's such a blessing for four lessons on supreme things. And if you want to learn about how to address the issues that are coming up in this particular day, I want you to get this this teaching. Why do I say that? Because you need to understand what are superior norms that reflects the realms of righteousness. And you need to also stretch your mental capacity that there are greater things that are called supreme standards that go beyond initial salvation. And then you also need to learn how to communicate supreme stipulations and standards of sanctification by conveying the power of obedience. So these are lessons that I think are geared for the body of Christ to present themselves in a greater fashion than we presented ourselves in times past. And one of the awakenings for me was participating in the Board of Ethics address when they were trying to push same-sex marriages. But it may be something else for you. It may be listening to this broadcast that presents to you that your voice needs to be heard, but it needs to be heard under the fashioning and the obedience that is yielded through the practice of sanctification unto the Spirit. And that's why it's important that I teach this and that we study the Word of God. I want you to join us on our broadcast, because on these broadcasts we're going to have, and we already have, timeless teachings on Tuesdays. You get information that has been archived, that has been scripted by men of God who were moved as the Holy Spirit instructed, and men and women of God, praise the Lord. And then also on Sundays you get ministry development. We give you opportunity to ask questions pertaining to the ministry and or to the Bible only. And then on second Sundays, on third Sundays, we have the Through the Bible, so you get an opportunity to study each book of the Bible and develop knowledge in every book of the Bible. And then on every Thursday, we give you instruction, as we did tonight, that gives you the systematic theology and the diligent and doctrinal studying of the right division of the Word of God. And your life will never be the same as a result of you just picking up your phone, dialing 646-595-4877, and getting involved or listening to blogtalkradio.com/USWAT. So thank you for listening to tonight. Listen to our broadcast. Spread the word that we're here on every night, and we're studying God's word. I'm so delighted to be able to minister the word of God with the body of Christ. Continue to let folks know that we're on, and we're going to be continuing digging into the word. And I will see you on Sunday. Thank you for listening. This is LaVon Brilling. You have a blessed night. Bye-bye.